And good afternoon. You're listening to Jazz Tones. This is Jay Edwards. And, you know, it's always a pleasure to be able to not only bring you great music, but to have someone in the studio that has lived the music and has brought about the greater reaches of music and encountered with them and brought them through his poetry, through his books, through his social change and social revolution. As you well know, the Du Bois Legacy Project, The Wings of Atlanta, is here for the last 4 days, in fact, until tomorrow, and is commemorating the 50th anniversary of Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois, who was also a graduate of Fisk University. And I had the honor and the pleasure to meet a gentleman last night that I have been following as a young man all my life, as an author, a poet, and an instrument of change. And in the studio right now, he's come to pay his to bring ideology and a lot of great information to us. I hope I can keep up with him. Mr. Emeril Baraka is in the studio, and I want this opportunity to sit back and to talk to him and say good afternoon. Good afternoon. How you doing?
How you doing? Okay, I'm all right.
You know, it's a pleasure to be with you, my brother.
Well, thank you very much, man. I appreciate that.
You're taking the time out in your busy schedule, man. You've had a lot of influence on us as young people as older people, man. But you coming on Clark campus, it's very important. I read your Blues People, so your Dutchman and the Slave and Toilet, and watch what you've done over a period of years to influence society and this system that we live in, man. And it's a pleasure. You're still here. Killing
them. I'm just old, that's all.
No, you're wise. You know, but you've been around in for a long time as an instrument of change within our society. Have you seen any major differences between the 60s when I first embraced you and what you had done for me as a young person and challenging the system?
Well, that period there, the 50s and the 60s, that was a period of change for the whole people, for Afro-American people and in the world. You know, I think in 1947, India got free. 1949, China got free. And then you had the whole African liberation movement in the 50s. And that sent waves over here. We were following very closely the African, you know, revolutionary liberation movement. And then you had people like the Montgomery bus boycott, you know, 19, you talk about now, 55, 56, Emmett Till, all that stuff happened. And, you know, by 1959, the bus boycott was successful. Dr. King had come into Montgomery. They had organized the SCLC, you know what I mean, which then went on with the civil rights movement. And by 59, there was explosion in Cuban Revolution. So it was happening all over. And I went to Cuba in 1960. Malcolm X appeared publicly in 1960, you know, so it was all rolling. And that's why they killed both of them, Dr. King and Malcolm X. So whether you thought you were following this ideology or that ideology, they killed both of them, see. So it was a stern lesson. And I think my generation, young people, we made a decision that we watched Dr. King get beat up here in the North. And we always supported Dr. King, but we did not support, you know, turn the other cheek. Couldn't understand that, you know. We were Malcolm's generation, you know. I think when Dr. King, when they blew up his house, the black people showed up in Montgomery with the rifles and stuff. Dr. King, what shall we do? He said, you know, if it be any bloodshed, let it be ours. And my generation said, it ain't going to be like that, you know. It's going to be some bloodshed. It's going to be collective, actually.
It's collective bloodshed. Yeah. Like Malcolm said, there's never been a revolution without no bloodshed. Yeah, that's the era.
So you treat people like they treat you.
Right.
Treat them with respect. They put their hands on you, send them to the cemetery.
Yeah.
And we thought that was very wise.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. We're in a technological revolution now as compared to a revolution, a social revolution. What is your opinion on that?
Well, the problem with, you know, technological revolutions in a capitalist society is that it leaves a lot of people out of work. You know, every advance that they mean, that they make technologically means there's a whole 100,000 people don't have a job, you see, because the technology is not meant to better society as a whole, but only to make more money for a certain sector of the, you know, population. Because, you know, the United States has been through many changes, many turns, but essentially the bedrock of it remains the same. You know, like African-Americans still mainly poor, mainly uneducated, you know, still struggling with that basic discrimination, you know, and it's something that, I mean, even with a black president, you have, I mean, he's been talked bad about in an unprecedented fashion. I've never heard a president of the United States talk bad about like
right.
that, you know. So it's a question of, no matter what it seems like to change, we have to understand that fundamentally, it's pretty much the same.
You know, interesting enough, you're here for the Wings of Atlanta, the Du Bois Legacy Project. Has a lot of the things that you're expressing here been brought out of that project here on Clark Atlanta University, or anything in the seminars? Have you had a chance to express yourself on that level?
You have to speak louder. I didn't hear that.
I said, had you had a chance to express yourself on the level of what you're talking about now,
yeah.
the changes in the impact of unemployment because of the technological revolution,
yeah, sure.
as compared to what has happened in terms of the social movements of the 50s and the 60s.
Well, see, what has happened is that there has been, you can say this, integration won at that little 1%, the top, you know. There's some Negroes who are well-to-do. There's some Negroes who got a lot of money. You know, we got $700 billion a year. You know, the gross national product of the Afro-American is 16th in the world. It's like, 15th is General Motors. So General Motors got more money than all of us together, you see. But the point is, what are we doing with that? How are we building a structure to direct that money to get the things we need? We're talking about reparations, but we got $700 billion without reparations. You see what I mean? I need reparations too, but the point is we need structure. We need organization, you see. We need, and that's what we've been trying to put together generation after generation, a structure that serves the Afro-American people, you know what I mean, so that they're effective in trying to better themselves within the American society and also reach out as a Pan-African kind of instrument so that, you know, black people all over the world, and there are black people all over the world who are benefit by that same time, you know.
And South Africa has the same problem. Brazil has the same problem.
Same problem.
Same problem.
Same
problem. Panama has the same problem.
Same problem.
Africa definitely has the same problem, the continent.
Well, Africa's actually doing worse than it was in the 60s. At least in the 60s, they were fighting, you know, for freedom, for liberation. But the problem is now you've got from that revolutionary period, now you've gone into a kind of neo-colonial period. Just like when we were struggling to get black mayors and black representation, and then many of them Negroes turned out to be servants of what exists. You know, they were so happy to be among those people that they forgot why they got there in the first place, you know, and that's a problem, you know, still, you know. My son Raz is running for mayor in Newark.
Interesting.
Yeah, this year. And also Chukwuma Lumumba is in town running for mayor of Jackson, Mississippi. He's in town tonight. So it's another generation trying to take it up, you know. I mean, I was sorry for things like what happened to Jesse Jackson Jr. or the brother up there in Detroit. And, you know, they forgot why they went there in the first place. You know what I'm saying? You know, they just wanted to begin to be part of that thing rather than to overthrow that thing and move to a higher level. And that's what we're trying to find out. How can we get past this, you know, level?
You know, you've been a griot in many ways to a lot of people throughout the years, especially through your literature,
yeah,
and your plays, which has made a major difference in terms of making the public cognizant of reality and social change and what is and what isn't. And you've expressed something that's very clear, is that a lot of times we've been compromised,
yeah,
in many ways. this particular conference that you're with, I'm very interested in, is there anything being accomplished in terms of not only people expressing their positions, but also building some type of structure?
Well, I hope the most main thing we can accomplish is introduce people to who W.B. Du Bois was, you
right.
know, who probably one of the greatest intellectuals of the Afro-American community, obviously, and probably in the black world, one of our greatest intellectuals. There's a bookstore in Los Angeles that was selling 15 volumes of his work for, I think, what was it, $199. People should jump on that if they can find it on the internet, you know.
Mm.
Or it's the Oxford University edition. But see, Du Bois not only was a great artist in that sense, I mean, the souls of black folks, which Langston said he read five different times. I read twice. That should give you a picture of who you are in this society. You know, it begins, how does it feel to be a problem? You know, and that's when you think about that, you say, how does it feel to be a problem?
To be a problem,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
Because that's what you are in this society, a problem. And he goes on to talk about the double consciousness. You know, what is it like, a person to see yourself through the eyes of people that hate you? You know, that is always to look at yourself with amusement and contempt. You know what I mean? That's when you look at these movies made by these Negroes now, it's amusement and contempt, you know, funny Negroes, contemptible Negroes, you know.
Stereotypical.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that is what they're putting back on you. All of that kind of dumb humor that you see.
Better, just as bad as blackface.
And even this movie Django, which, you know, obviously, you got to like a movie that shoots all of them racist crackers. I mean, you got. I mean, that's, but at the same time, it's not accurate.
No, it's
and
not
the only
accurate.
The only way it could be made is it had to be over the top, even to be made. It had to be funny, like the Klan. They can't see through their masks.
It's a parody. You're right.
Yeah, that's the only way it could be made. Because if you try to make a film about showing off what happened in slavery, mm-hmm. what really happened in slavery, see, they can show you Birth of a Nation.
No.
They can show you what was the thing down there with Clark Gable and what's his name?
Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind. They mm-hmm. can show you those are pro. You know, pro-Confederacy
movies. Yeah, right.
But show a movie about the struggle of the Afro-American in slavery from the slave ship. You know, show the movie about the slave ship and then the movie about slavery. I mean, really. And
it's different. This is, those who are just tuning in, this is Amaria Baraka, poet, social. I mean, a person has definitely challenged the system for many, many years. And with the Orishas of music, a great lecturer and a writer. I wanted to take the opportunity to allow him to come on the air primarily because he was here, you know, with the Wings of Atlanta celebrating the 50th anniversary of Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois. And I just want to thank you. You all are all participating in the Du Bois Legacy Project, and it makes a difference. But I could not have this opportunity to have not only spoken to you last night and commemorating Faye Bellamy Powell, because I worked with her at WRGL Assistant Station.
I was glad to see that.
Yeah. It was a great turnout because she was definitely caused a lot of implementation and social change within our system. But most of all, what are some of the future things you plan to do?
Well, we're doing a play on, I'm going to read tonight from this play that I've written about Du Bois that's supposed to be open in New York in April. Called the most dangerous man in America. That's what the FBI called him at 83 years old. The most dangerous
Ooh,
man in America.
The most dangerous man in America.
And so that's because he was indicted as an agent of a foreign power for opposing the development of the atomic bomb, you know.
W.D. Bois.
Yeah, he's saying that the atomic bomb was going to be disastrous for most people in the world and for us to use all our resources and stuff to, you know, to develop atomic weapons was not only a waste of American resources, but dangerous, you know. And so they attacked him, and he belonged to the peace group, and they wanted to pretend that this peace organization was a Soviet-sponsored group. And so they indicted him as an agent of a foreign power, he and four or five other people.